Shalom to all. Today's daf is Yerushalmi Shabbos daf Lamed Gimel. We are starting right at the top of the Amud, and if those are daf, it's on Chav Vav Amud Beis, about halfway through the Amud with the words of Yasa Salak. And today's daf is sponsored Lilu Nishmas Marsh Merim Sarah Pasi Yaakov Moshe Harnish Shama Shad Haven Aliyah. Now we've been over three of Machlekes regarding Mukta, specifically in regards to a Ner which went out on Shabbos and whether one is allowed to be metaltal it. Rabbi Huda says no because Mukta Machas Mias. It's since there was oil in it, it's gross, it's repulsive, and that's why it's Mukta. Whereas a Meir says no because Mukta Machas Iser. At the beginning of Shabbos, it was a basis, a base for something as Mukta, which is the oil and the wick, and therefore it remains usher the entire Shabbos. And Reb Shimon says, yes, it's no problem to move it, because since there's no more flame, it's not mukta anymore. And the Gemara brought a few stories of a lamp being moved off the table after it went out. So the Gemara continues with this. Reb Yossi saw the Gabri Tanchum Bar Chiya. Reb Yossi went up to Tanchum Bar Chiya for Shabbos. Bam Avar Tekumai. He wanted to remove the lamp from in front of him after it went out. Amrlei told him, Befanenu, you're doing this in front of us? We don't like our mayor that it's usher. Another story, Reb Yossi Glilaya. Saw the Kumi Reb Yossi Ben Chanina. He went up to Reb Yossi Ben Chanina. Bam Avar Te. He wanted to move the lamp in front of him. Amrlei told him, Man Char Lecha. Who permitted this for you? Ashkachas Rav Reb Yochanan Ilein de Asrin. We find that Rav and Reb Yochanan, they asr this. Chada, that's one group. And Reb Yeshua ben Levi, Reb Shim ben Lakish, Ilein de Shraya, they permit it. But Chada, that's also just another group. And that means that it's one versus one. And so we don't have a majority opinion over here to matter. Therefore, it's asr. And Reb Elazar bar Chanina, he told us that Maisa Haya, there's a story. Vitiltalei Paimet mitachas haner b'Shabbes. They moved the Paimet, which is the candlestick, underneath the lamp on Shabbos. And actually, modern day Hebrew, Pamotim are candlesticks that one is going to light on Shabbos. And in this story, we're talking about a candlestick that had the nair on top of it. Imagine it was some sort of tea light or something like that. And then after it went out, the candlestick was moved. And the question is, Manan Kamin, who are we going like in this story? In Krav Meir, if you want to say it's like a mayor, afilu paimite aser. Even the candlestick should be aser to move because it's a basis. And in Krav Shimon, if you want to say it's like Krav Shimon, afilu nair ye mutter. Even the nair itself should be mutter to move because after it goes out, there's no problem to move it. Why did the guy move the candlestick? Al Kanan Kamin, it must be that this is the sheet that we're going like Krav Yuda, just like Krav Yuda. Krav Yudu Amar, nair mos, Krav Yudu who says that the nair itself is mos, and that's why you can't move it. Well, pamait enoi mos, the candlestick in which the nair is on top of, that is not mos, and therefore the candlestick is allowed to be moved once the nair goes out. And similarly, tanu we have a brisa nair shu munach gabi tavla. If there's a nair on top of a tablet, like a tray of sorts, misalkas a tavla v'nair neifel, one can move this tablet, this tray, and then the nair will fall off of it. Now, right now we're understanding that the nair is still lit when it's being knocked off, and the question is, Rabbi Yochanan says, karv hu zel lavel dechiv chatos. This guy is so close to becoming chayav chatos. Why is that? Because lefanov, if he tips a tray forward, Mishom Mavir. He's over Mavir because now the oil goes closer to the tip of the wick and that caused the flame to burn brighter and stronger, and that's like Mavir. And La'achrav, if he's tipping it backwards, Mishom Mechabe. He's over because of Mechabe because now that's taking the oil away from the wick and that's like extinguishing it. So how would he be allowed to do this in the first place? So on this, Shmuel Bar Abba said, Kumi Rabbi Yossi Bekava. We're talking about where it already was extinguished. So Amrlei, he told him, Tenuach Da'etcha. Your mind should be settled, meaning you should feel good because you made my mind settled. I couldn't understand why one is able to tip this light off of the tray if it's still lit. Now that you're telling me that it already went out, and that's when you're allowed to tip it off the tray, so now I'm calm. The question is, Manan Kaiman, what are we talking about over here? In Krav Meir, if it's like a mayor, afil tavla te asura. Even tipping this tray to knock off the nair should be usur, because mukta machlas isur, it was a basis. And in Krav Shimon, if you want to say it's like Krav Shimon, afilu nair ye mutter. Even the nair itself is allowed to be moved. You don't have to tip the tray and knock it off. Alakan Krav Yuda, must be over here, it's like Krav Yuda. Krav Yuda Amar, Krav Yuda says, nair mos, that the reason why one is allowed to move a nair, even after it gets extinguished, is because it's mos. Well, tavla ain ma'usa. The tray is not mos, and that's why you're allowed to tip it and knock the nair off. On to another din, Tani was taught in a brisa, im hisna alav yehe motor. If a person made a tanai regarding his nair before Shabbos, and he wants to be able to metaltal it and move it after it gets extinguished, so then it's mutter, and he is allowed to move it after it goes out. The question is, mana kaimin? According to whose shita is this? In Krem, if you want to say it's like a mayor, afilu hisna alav aser. Even if he made a tanai, it should be aser. That's at least our havamina. Because according to our mayor, we understand that since it's miyuchid la aser, at the beginning of Shabbos, it's a basis ladavar aser, so making a tanai doesn't help. And in Krem, if you want to say it's like a shimin, afilu loihisna alav yehe mutter. Even if he didn't make it tonight, it should be mutter. Because again, as we're understanding Shitas Reb Shimon, once the light goes out, there's no problem of mukta. Why should you have to make it tonight? And on this we answer, El Kanan on Kaiman. Rather, who's this like? Reb Yuda, like Reb Yuda. Reb Yuda Amar, Ner Mos, Tavla in Ma'usa. Reb Yuda had said that the Ner itself is Mos, but a tray is not Mos. And it's the same thing over here. If you make a tonight before Shabbos that you want to be able to use it after it gets extinguished, you're basically showing that it's not Mos to you and you don't mind it. And therefore, a tonight would help, according to Reb Yehuda. As we're a whole second, Machamas Memer, Reb Yuda on Kaiman. Why is it seeming to you to say that this is going like Rabbi Yehuda? Meaning, why do you have to say it's like him? It could be like Rav Meir. Maybe Rav Meir holds that Tanai does help. We had assumed that Rav Meir holds that once it's miyuchid for Isser, it's Usser and Tanai doesn't help. Maybe Tanai does help in Rav Meir. And where would we see this? And the answer to this is from the following Brisa. The Tani Brisa tells as follows, Ner shu munach achari adeles, if a person had a ner on the back of a door, he had connected a lamp or a light to the door itself. Paisech b'nei al b'Shabbos, he's allowed to open and close the door on Shabbos, Shabbos Loy L'Havir, as long as he doesn't have intent to extinguish the light or to light it more as he moves the door, opening and closing it. So obviously all that wind and all that movement could either cause it to get extinguished or to burn more brighter. And the Brisa is telling us that even though the lamp is lit, there's no problem opening and closing the door, again, as long as he doesn't have kavana to extinguish it or to get it to burn better. However, Rav Shmuel Pasur Lay, Rav and Shmuel explained the Brisa is referring to the following, b'shaycheach, that the fellow forgot his nair. He left it connected to the door by accident. He did not intend for it to be like that, because if he did put it there on purpose, then the door is a basis and he would not be allowed to move the door because it's muktzah, and so therefore the only way he's allowed to move the door is if he forgot the nair over there, and so it's not a basis. However, Makal and Manda Avad Kain, they cursed somebody who did this with the following pasuk, Yachris Hashem l'isha she'yasena erva oine, because if a person is going to be moving the door while the lamp is still lit, then there's a very big chance he will come to extinguish it or cause it to get lit better, and therefore while it's still lit, he should not be moving it. Now the question of Rav and Shmuel is, why do they have to explain that this is a unique case where he forgot the nair attached to the door? Why not just say that he was masna, he made it tonight, that after the lamp gets extinguished, he wants to be able to move the door, and that way the door is not a basis? Why do they have to say the door is not a basis? Because sheikh, the guy forgot it there. It must be that they hold tonight doesn't work. And whose shita is this? Man is called miyuchel iser aser. Who holds that if something's miyuchel for iser, so it's aser? Layer of mayor, isn't there of mayor? So we see from here that if mayor holds tonight doesn't work. And therefore, in conclusion, the Gemara says, Lam gimel beis on the top, have a man tana im hisna olav mutter. So who's the tana who holds that if you made it tonight beforehand, then on Shabbos, once it gets extinguished, it's mutter? Rib Yehuda, that's proper girsa, it's Rib Yehuda, as we said previously. And we just continue quoting the Braisa, Aval kais uka'ar v'hashashes. If he has a cup filled with oil and a wick burning in it, or a bowl filled with oil and a wick burning in it, or an ashashes, which is like a flask or a large receptacle of sorts that has oil burning in it, Aval pisha kavu, even if they got extinguished, asr liga bahen, one is not allowed to touch them. And why is that? So if Tavi says, B'sherim chesda, afil krib shemin du amr taman mutter, even according to krib shemin, that says over there that usually once a lamp gets extinguished, it's permitted to move it, maidi uhachashu asr, over here agrees that it's asr. Why is that? Sheim oimer at loishu mutter, because if you're going to tell him that after this light in the kais ka'ara ashashes gets extinguished, it's mutter to move, afu mechaba isan mishtamish behind, we have a real fear that he's going to extinguish them on Shabbos and he's going to use the leftover oil. Since a kais ka'ara ashashes holds so much more oil than a regular lamp, Reb Shimon's afraid that if he's allowed to be metaltalit after the nair goes out, then he might come to extinguish the nair on purpose in order to be able to use that extra oil, and therefore even Reb Shimon asers it. Now the Mara goes back to discuss the fundamental machlokes between Reb Shimon and Reb Meir. Amar Rav Manah, Rav Manah says, Bekad Miyaso originally, Havinun Savrin Meimar, I thought to say, Ma Pligin Ba'isa Shekava, what's this machlokes of Meir and Reb Shimon with a lamp that got extinguished, whether or not one's allowed to move it? That's only B'Shegero Achbar Masapsila, if mice had pulled the wick away, meaning mice had taken the wick out of the lamp, so now it's not a basis anymore, because the wick, which is mukta, is not here. Now the proper gears is to add in these two words, inami or ba'afutza, where it was stuffed, meaning the wick is still there, but it was stuffed into the entrance of the nair, and it's considered bottled to the kli, and so the kli wouldn't be considered a basis. And these are two cases they would argue in, or va'afilu tema b'shaloi ger achbar masapsila, even if you want to say the mice hadn't pulled out the wick, va'afilu tema shaloi ba'afutza, or even if you want to say it's not a futza, the wick wasn't stuffed into the opening of the kli, we could also say another case they would argue is, b'sheish b'sech ha-shemen, if there was still oil in it, that would also be subject to the machlokes. In this last case that we just mentioned, Reb Shimon holds that the oil is not mukta, whereas Reb Meir holds that it is, and the reason why Reb Manah thought that even in the first two cases, they would argue, is because really Reb Shimon agrees that a basis is aser, and the whole machlokes is in a concept called migu deskatsoi. Since something was mukta at the beginning of Shabbos, it continues being mukta throughout the rest of Shabbos, even if the reason for it being mukta is not here anymore. According to Reb Meir, we hold migu deskatsoi ben ashmashas es katsoi l'kula yoyma. Since it was mukta ben ashmashas, since coming into Shabbos, the lamp was lit, there was a fire burning, and therefore was mukta, even though the fire got extinguished, it continues being mukta for the rest of Shabbos. Or Reb Shimon does not hold of migu deskatsoi, and therefore, once the lamp gets extinguished, as long as there's no wick over here that would continue its status of being a basis, so then Reb Shimon would hold that it's mutter. And that's what the whole machlokes says. And why did I think this, says Rav Manah? Because Taman Tanin over there, we have a Mishnah, this is later on in the Masechta, Neitel Adam es Benai v'Evan b'yadai, a person's allowed to pick up his son, even if his son is holding on to a rock, v'kakalav Evan b'seichai, or he's allowed to pick up a basket and it has a stone inside, and v'tani the base Rebbe, the base Meresh of Rebbe taught, ha'evan v'eichlin b'seichai, that this basket's allowed to be picked up if there's a stone and food inside, and the reason why it's allowed to be picked up is because since it's a basis, l'davar ha'asar v'mutter, there's a asar thing, which is a stone, and mutter thing, which is food, that's why he's allowed to pick it up. But if there was only a stone in the basket, he would not be allowed to pick it up. So we see that even Reb Shimon holds that there's a problem with the basis l'davar ha'asar on Shabbos, and therefore once again, Rav Manah says that I thought the machlokes from Meir and Reb Shimon in regards to the lamp is only when it's not considered a basis. But if it was a basis, for example, it had the wick inside, so then I would say that even Reb Shimon agrees to Rav Meir that it's asar. However, now says Rav Mana, the loy avinu namrin klom. I realize afterwards that I'm not saying anything. It's really not true. Why is that? Shari Rabbi Romanus, hoitzi machta mishel beis Rabbi malei gachal b'Shabbes. Rabbi Romanus carried out a pan full of coals from the beis medrash of Rabbi on Shabbos. And ezel chamemar gabu chalam afutzos hein. Are you able to say that the reason why he's allowed to carry this pan of coals is because they're afutzos? We can't apply this term afutza that we did to the wick to coals. Alternatively, that's a proper girsa. B'sheishel seicha shemen. You want to say there was oil in this pan? Why would there be oil in a pan of coals? And therefore, says Rav Mana, it must be that I'm wrong. That really, Reb Shimon does not hold of the issue of basis, and that's why this pan of coals was allowed to be carried. However, Rav Avoh has a different answer to why Reb Rumnus was allowed to carry out this pan of coals. Kiyamte, I explained it as follows: that kartim shel baisam hayaba. There was a piece of frankincense on these coals. This is something they used to do back in the day called mugmer. They would put these aromatic spices on coals. The smoke would start rising and would make a nice aroma throughout the room. And one would be allowed to carry coals in such a manner if it still had this baisam on it. Now the Gemara moves on talking about something else. Rav Babar Chia says, "B'shem Rabbi Yechanan, tarchos also etaltolai. A large wooden box is not allowed to be carried because since it's so heavy, we're miyached a place for it. It's meant to remain just in one place, and that makes it muktzah. However, Hayr Rav Ami mutter. Rav Ami says it's permitted to move. And Rav Yirmiyah chamiloin metaltolin lei goy sidruba. Rav Yirmiyah saw them moving a very large chest, this very heavy box, in the sidruba in the large base medrash. V'lo have a machin biyadoin, and he didn't protest against them. On something else, base Rav Yane Amrin in the base medrash Rav Yane they said." Ad shloisha kikise. If we have a ladder that is up until three rungs, that's considered like a chair. It's still very small. It's not considered set in its place and it's movable, and therefore it's permitted to move on Shabbos. Mekan vehelach, however, it's from here and more, meaning it has more than three rungs. Kesulam, it's like a ladder, meaning it's like a ladder which is too heavy and it's meant to remain set in its place, and therefore one is not allowed to move it. Now, just going back to this large, heavy chest case that we just mentioned, Amar B'yosef Rabun, he says, Mandashari, the one that allows one to move a tarchos, this large heavy box, lamadat all went off on the top, Krib Shemin. He holds like Krib Shemin. Dutani, we have a brisa that says, Lo yogur adam esamita vesakise vesasafsal vesakatedra. One is not allowed to drag a bed, chair, bench, or katedra on Shabbos, mneshu asacharetz, because he's going to be making a ditch when he drags it across the ground. Krib Shemin mater, Krib Shemin allows. Now, even though over here in this particular case, Krib Shemin is just simply commenting on what the Tanakam is not allowing, and he's saying that it's okay, even if a ditch is made, it's a davar shein mischavin, so it's perfectly fine, we still see the Krib Shemin allows the box to be moved, and there's no issue of muktzah. We're going to stop here for the day, but pick up tomorrow and continue to discuss dragging things across the floor on Shabbos. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.